The COVID House is a sequential narrative about a series of world events. In order to fully understand the implications of the knowledge of what is happening behind the scenes, it is recommended that you start at season one, previously on the COVID House.
They believe their generators will work and they won't succumb to the pressure and mental despair of an extinction level event. But no one knows for sure. No one except for myself.
So is this what you'd planned all along?
My real plan is a bit more complicated. But at the moment, I need exactly what we have here.
And if the conditions are right, if they're really right, I can enact my true plan. A plan I've been working on for decades. I just have to maintain their belief that I've got their best interests in mind. And that first step is changing everything about myself and bringing someone back from the dead. And if I'm to become him, then I just need the world to believe. I just need people to dream like they used to, even if it's only for a moment. Then everything will fall into place.
We have. We could effectively think like them, so their projects and influence wouldn't wane while they were frozen.
So as your guinea pig.
I don't need the world to believe. I only need a portion of the world to ask the question about whether or not I am truly him. That's enough to set my plan in motion. If the world were to end, we need to know.
Who are you people?
I'll never ask for anything again. Because this one final task will mean I wake up in a different world. A world where literally everything has changed.
I don't understand.
You're evil, and I refuse to participate any further.
You...
see the end of the world. As clear as day, the optimist in me believed that humanity could triumph and live together as one, but that optimism has been washed away. I need to destroy the insurance plan for the end of the world and rewrite a better one on my own. And I have to do it now.
And this story will see its final chapter. Everything that follows will lead our story to the very end. Where nothing will ever be the same.
Tim, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. My clients are freaking out. They've raised some suspicions about my activities, and we had to move quickly. That's why we're here.
But what about the people we left back there? Are they okay?
I can only hope so. Right now, we have to focus on this place right here.
Where are we?
Compound 21-22-3, the original facility where you and I first met.
This is the first COVID house, but I thought that was destroyed.
It was, but the destruction was only seen above ground. Because everything is below ground, it remains intact, which proved that my design is sustainable, even in an explosion or a catastrophic event.
Something tells me you wanted to see what would happen.
Yes, but according to the records of the Guardians or anyone who bothered to look, there's nothing here.
When I first got here, there was a private area that no one could access. Was this it?
Well, I've been developing this for years secretly, even before COVID. But the pandemic helped me accelerate things exponentially.
It's incredible. And does that mean the other houses and facilities, they're all still functional?
No. The other facilities were all destroyed. But before those attacks took place, we moved the most critical equipment and materials here. This compound was always meant to be the only one.
But didn't Karen run this compound for a little while? She must have known something. She must have seen this.
Perhaps, but a few months ago, I made a deal to help an associate of hers gain access to the Australian facility. From there, Karen believes she could put herself in a position to seize funds from my clients. We've had our disagreements, but in a strange way, we share a mutual respect.
I thought you were supposed to seize those phones. That was supposed to be you, to take the money from your clients and give it back to the people. Was she even successful?
I don't know. I wanted to seize those funds, but there are too many forces working against me. If I stayed, it would have just jeopardized everything. But at the end of the day, this facility is the one thing that truly matters to me.
Forces working against you? You mean the follower?
the follower, and some of my clients. I realized it recently when I found that Barlavi was gone. I knew that my hand was weaker than I anticipated.
But wasn't he in the fire like years ago, Barlavi? TJ attacked him. How did he survive?
We found out that if you move quickly, then putting someone in one of our cryo units can preserve them, even if they're on the brink of death.
I see.
I had hoped to use him in order to create another soldier, but if my clients moved against me, then I'd lose everything I'd built and sacrificed for it.
Another soldier? Who is that going to be?
Tim, I think that's neither here nor there. Walk with me. I need your help with something.
But the other soldier, is it me? Is that why you kept me here?
No. It wasn't going to be you at all. All the cards on the table. My original plan was to use what we learned to make some changes to a person in peak physical condition. A football player who was loyal to me.
You're talking about Jamal. You're going to experiment on him.
That was my intention, but I didn't make that choice because, well, I don't know how to say this. In some way, it was because of you.
Who am I to you?
Have you ever come across someone, perhaps it's deja vu, or you have a glimpse of some alternate reality? When I think of how you've been used, it made me rethink the implementation of my plan.
I don't understand.
Well, I used to wake up every morning and see the end of the world as clear as day. In my mind's eye, it felt so real.
A terrible way to start your morning.
I know. But when you believe that the end of the world is an impending certainty, you might make some terrible choices in the short term, in hopes of saving humanity in the long run. But when I forced you to operate as my proxy, I think it was the first time I felt remorse for my actions.
So I assume this is some type of apology.
Well, in a way, to you and others. But I see things differently now. In part, thanks to you.
Why am I really here?
You're here for a reason that I believe is essential to the new world. It's time for you to see the rest of what I've built.
These rooms, they're larger than the last facility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Much larger.
Yeah, the Australian facility was meant to be one large mousetrap with one purpose, to get my clients together in one place. We had long COVID survivors living there, but in reality, most of that facility was a facade. We used shell corporations and a revolving door of vendors to get the things we needed. But the bulk of the valuable items ended up exactly where we're standing.
This is exactly your plan all along.
I invested all my fortune into it and funneled a part of my clients' investment money into it as well. The renewables, water filtration, indoor air quality, and the building scale resources. These materials were procured and sent here over the course of years.
I remember when I was your proxy, I was signing documents, arranging for things to be moved. It's spotty, but I remember all of it.
That's part of the reason I'm sharing my plan with you. Because in the past, I've kept everyone that trusted me on the outside. And that's where it all went wrong. I can only imagine if I still had the full trust of someone like TJ or Karen. We could have changed the world together. But I let down the people who trusted me the most. I won't let that happen again.
So you don't want to let me down. That's why I'm here.
No. You're here because I need someone to activate the process to put me in the rebirth unit for the last time.
The last time? You're freezing? Can't you just do that yourself?
Not this time. This new design is specifically intended to freeze one person indefinitely. So this unit should be able to operate for decades, centuries, maybe even millennia, because it operates on a power source with multiple redundancies. It needs to be activated manually.
So you just plan to lock yourself away and stay there forever, huh?
If that's what it takes.
I wasn't serious.
Look, the next time this door opens, I'll wake up at the end of the world. And with humanity's very existence on the brink and our extinction imminent, I'll be there to guide the survivors, fulfilling what I was born to do, what I was meant to do for my entire life.
What you were meant to do? You think you were meant to be there at the end of the world? Last time we spoke, you asked me about purpose, and this is what you're defining as your purpose?
I've never been more sure of anything in my entire life.
So once I lock you in there, then I'm literally going to pray that you never wake up, because as long as you stay asleep, it means the world won't end.
You're right. If I never wake up, then it means the world's safe. And in that scenario, I can rest easy forever. But I just don't see that happening.
You don't think we can turn this world around?
Come on. We're already on a collision course, and I don't see people changing.
But just a moment ago, you said that you regret the mistakes you made. If you've changed, don't you think that others can too?
Look, my methods have changed, but my purpose hasn't. I am meant to be there for humanity at the end. Of that, I'm certain.
but that's a terrible thing to be certain about.
I know in my heart, it's my destiny. Don't try to make me question my role as the savior of humanity.
But in order for you to be that savior, it requires the majority of humanity to destroy itself.
Yeah, at first, it's a jarring thought, but I won't be the one to cause it.
But you won't be the one to stop it either, will you?
Look, this is exciting news. It means humanity has a backup plan. You have no idea what I've sacrificed to get this far.
But what if you made the choice to help humanity now, to use all of your resources and planning and clearly your preparation to help people that are struggling, to give them a shot? We can do this.
Tim, don't you see? I'm helping. When humanity inevitably reaches the point of no return, I can use this place to house the survivors. Worthy people from each generation who can represent humanity at the end.
That's like, hey, I could fix this sinking ship right now, but it's a lot easier if I scoop up a few survivors after everyone else has already drowned. Come on.
That's a flawed analogy. What if the sinking ship can never be fixed? Regardless of what anyone does, the sinking is inevitable. In that scenario, the only thing that matters is the quality and sustainability of the life raft.
I see what you're saying, but I don't believe that's inevitable. Nothing is inevitable.
In case you haven't noticed, we're already sinking.
You say that, but at the same time, you've built a plan that requires that ship to sink for it to be successful. And Max, it hurts for me to say this, but I don't think you want to save the world at all.
How could you even question my motives after all I've shared with you? I've given every piece of my fortune to this cause. I've dedicated my life to this plan to save humanity, to be fail-safe.
I've heard it before. I've heard it. The insurance policy for the end of the world, right? All I see is a man who built this advanced underground bunker, who changed his face to look like someone else and wasted his fortune.
I changed my face because it was meant to distract my clients. My face is the only reason they finally agreed to come together, to look me in the eye and see the person I've become.
You really believe that?
I know it. I've tried to bring them together in the past, but they've rejected my previous invitations. But now, they agreed to join together, not solely because they saw the pending state of the world, but also to see who I was trying to become. But it's clear you doubt my theory.
I don't think I doubt your theory. I don't think that's why you changed your face. I think there's something else.
You might have something to that. I mean, I needed the world to believe in magic again, to believe that he returned.
See, Max, I don't believe your story. I think you changed your face because you don't believe that you're good enough on your own.
I am good. No, I'm great on my own. I don't need you.
I didn't realize it until now. 50, 100, maybe 500 years in the future, a group of people walks into your house at the end of the world, and they're shocked and stressed and looking for a leader, and you think that the only way you can lead is if you're him. That's it.
You still don't understand.
You want a face that was familiar, even if it's that far in the future, and even if they can't place it. If you're wearing his face, then they'll look and say, that's the man to lead us. I think that's why you changed.
You're coming up with theories that have no basis in reality.
Right now, the people in this world have doubted you, but in the future, they'll love you because you're convinced you'll be the savior of humanity. It won't be a guess or a theory. You'll be able to prove it so that emptiness you feel inside can finally lead to the validation you crave every single day.
I don't need validation.
I've had some of your memories for a short time, Max. I know you're hurt and pain, but I believe that if you put that same effort into saving the world today without giving up, without resigning yourself to locking away for 1,000 years in hopes that from now you're a hero in the future, I believe that if you think it's not too late, you can change things and maybe I can somehow help.
Now, Tim, I admire your attempts at psychoanalysis and your faith in my abilities, but I've already tried to do right by this world. And it just hasn't worked.
You've already tried how? Because I can see the planning all around me. I can see the years of work. I'm walking through it right now and it's amazing. But if you put that same effort into the reality of our living world instead of the fantasy of a dead world, we'd never have to plan for this at all.
You overestimate the impact of one person changing things, but it's no matter. I've already made my choice. Now all I have left is this facility. And I have to be there at the end of the world so I can save what I can. I've sacrificed too much. Surely you've got to see this. But I've failed at everything else. But I won't fail at this.
You really believe you failed at other things?
Yes.
You used to do that. You couldn't have freed someone in cryo. But look what you did there. You made that breakthrough possible. Who knows what else you could do for medicine or... You're successful, Max. Why don't you doubt yourself?
You say that, but there are side effects I haven't told you about. The long COVID survivors. We finished our testing, and...
Don't tell me they're dying? I hope not.
No, They will live healthy, normal lives. In fact, the rebirth helped many of them. But there was another side effect.
What happened?
Our initial tests indicated that the cryo process leads to some problems with male fertility. We're still sorting through the data, but from our testing group, it doesn't look good.
What about the women?
We think they're okay for now, but the data is still inconclusive.
But this is just phase one. You're not a failure because of one setback.
Tell that to those I tested on, who will never have kids. You see, it's better if I step away from it all.
Maybe, but you can't give up. You can still try.
I don't need a motivational speech.
Don't give up on this world.
I plan to put volunteers in cryogenic status around the world, almost like a time capsule with thousands of people isolated from war or disease, just waiting to ensure humanity would go on in case things went terribly wrong.
But now these volunteers, they would wake up without the ability to procreate. I get it. But now, even if they survive, they'd effectively be the last generation.
Exactly.
But maybe you could freeze DNA or have some alternate methods of procreation or some other ideas that we could think of, like DNA testing.
Tim, just stop. You're starting to sound like me. And trust me, that path will lead you to places that you never want to go.
I want to convince you to try again.
I know what I have to do. And I'm more convinced than ever. I just want to start the process. It's time. I need you to pull this latch, seal me in, and then push the button next to me.
So this is goodbye. If I do that, then I can just leave. What about the rest of the money?
You know, I could just pay you for the last 3 years and call it even.
Yeah, and thank you. I plan to use that money for good, but our deal was for 30 years.
With money slowly allocated to you over time.
Yes, and now you're freezing yourself, so...
Listen, I pay my debts, I'll honor our deal. In a way, I owe you. Between the expenditures for building, the money I put away for maintaining this facility, and my clients experiencing liquidity issues, your money is basically all that's left.
And that's good. Look, maybe we can still do something positive. We can turn this around. You said that's why you changed your face to look like Walt Disney, so people could believe in magic again, right?
You know, Walt Disney envisioned a place where technology could solve problems instead of causing anxiety and a sense of helplessness, where people from all walks of life could live together to thrive. My dream was to do what Disney couldn't before his death, to build the real-life experimental prototype community of tomorrow. Not the one you visit, but the one where you live.
You said that's your dream? So then use this place as your dream. So many people are unhoused and isolated right now. Why don't you help them instead of building a community that can only exist at the world's ends? Use this opportunity right here.
You just don't see what I see.
You see that, but what I see is that you know the only way to prove that you're right is if the world ends. And no matter how long it takes, you want to be there to hear someone say, thanks for building this, Max. You're so good. We're safe because of you. You saved the world. You're a hero. And when people doubted you, you were right, right there. And instead of just having the faith that your plan is the right course of action, you need that proof and validation to seek evidence of your success.
You have no idea what you're saying.
But I do know that if the world goes on to survive, that if the world doesn't end, then the actions you've taken, the decisions you've made, people you've used and double-crossed, to those people, you'll be the villain.
You know what? I've come too far for this, and I'm beginning to lose my patience. I suggest you tread lightly.
Sure, you're frustrated, but the ends justify the means. But those means are only justified if the world ends. And you know that, don't you? The mistreatment, the lies, maybe it's flipped. Maybe the end is the only way for you to justify the mean.
Stop. I don't want the world to end.
You're a monster in a living world, but you're a hero in a dying world. So you'll just wait for the world to die, because then for the first time in your life, you can prove you're right, even if there are almost no people left to prove it to.
Enough. I could have killed you multiple times. I could have taken your money instead of putting it aside for you. I am tired of seeking your...
My approval. That's what it is, right? That's why I'm here, isn't it? You want someone to say you're right.
Your validation means nothing to me.
Before you lock yourself away, knowing you may never wake up, you just want one person to say you're right, to agree with you, right?
No.
Well, maybe you agree on some level. But I also believe that good people choosing to resign themselves to an inevitability of failure will in fact lead to a self-fulfilling prophecy of losing ourselves. Of course the world can end at any time, at any moment, but only because we already decided that it would. Because if we lose faith in each other, then it's already gone. But what if we choose to believe in something else?
It's time for you to just push the button. All the arrangements have been made.
Wait. the money. What if I pledge that to you so you can fund this place? Just don't give up on us. You can still do good. I'll give whatever's left of that money. I'll give it up to you.
That's a generous offer, but I'm not required to give it to you. Our agreement was verbal.
But you want your failsafe to be built on trust, don't you?
What do you want from me, Tim?
I just want you not to give up on this world.
It's a little late for that.
And maybe there's something else, because before you lock yourself away, I gotta tell you, I told some people about this place and my experiences here.
You went against the one thing I asked for?
I thought if people knew, then we could join together to live in a society where it's not necessary to constantly plan for the end of the world, where we're not isolated, where we can just do better.
The world is beyond saving. I've proven that.
You may believe that, but I don't think you've proven it.
This is pointless. The rebirth unit is ready. I need you to seal me inside.
I'll do what you ask, but just tell me, what will you do when the survivors wake up?
I'm well past the point of constructive feedback. I don't need for you to poke more holes in my plan.
Wait, just humor me here. You said you're the best person to lead them. How would you lead?
I don't need this. I don't need to explain myself to you.
How will you lead? I can see you want to tell someone. You're holding back a smile. You know exactly how you do it. At the end of the world, people come in here. How would you lead them? You're thinking about it right now.
Of course I know what I'd do.
From the moment of the ELE to their arrival to the second they get together, you know exactly what would happen.
I've run a few simulations, yes. But again, I'm not here to explain myself.
You've probably never told anyone.
I see what you're doing, Tim.
Before I push the button, I give you my word. If I like your plan, I will say that you're right and that you're the one to lead at the end of the world. And someday you'll wake up with a group of strangers who doesn't know you. But if that doesn't happen, no one will ever know the detail and thought you've put into this. Just tell me, how would you lead them?
I've never shared this with anyone. We've already built the latest technology for radiation sealing, self-sustaining nutrition, construction devices. We're years ahead on indoor farming using LED lights. We've got building scale 3D printers to expand and create new areas once we establish our perimeter. I can't even tell you the level of detail that has gone into this plan.
What would you say to them? What would you do?
What does it matter? My plan's already been set.
But if I press that button, I'm selecting the future leader of humanity, the person who can save the world. And that should be you, but we just want to be sure, right?
Okay, I'll play along. But after I tell you, regardless of what I say, I expect you to press that button and seal me in this unit. I need your word on that.
You have my word.
I also need you to take down any information that you've posted about this place. I can't risk anyone finding it out.
All right, just tell me and I'll agree.
It all starts with a process that selects key holders with special talents, intellect, and exceptional abilities from every generation. Now, we utilize a program that monitors and estimates the end of the world in order for a complex series of independently powered drones to bring the last of humanity's survivors here. We'd act quickly with multiple failsafes for the keyholder process, knowing that there could be a major radiation issue or electronic dead zone due to EMP or future technology that we weren't aware of.
I get it, but once they're here, they'll just listen to you?
They'll have no choice. I'll be the administrator. You see, the facility is much larger than what's visible in this room. 95% of what we've built is hidden and only accessible to the administrator.
I understand why you do that.
I've run simulation after simulation. There are countless factors you probably never even have considered.
Facility, so it can't be accessed. Why would you do that?
We currently live in a world of wealth, technology, and access that could never be comparable to what life would be like during an extinction level event. You would be taking people who are used to eating vegetables, complex carbohydrates and proteins, and now the majority of their food would come from a tube. You take people who dream of living in a house and make them have roommates in the tiniest of living spaces, grappling with their existence as the bulk of humanity is taken out in the most devastating of circumstances. And somehow, you still expect them to have purpose and thrive with no monetary system? The security guards would probably revolt and try to take over. It would be Lord of the Flies in here, times 10.
You have to just believe that humanity can do better.
If the survivors walk into my facility and they see swimming pools, a table tennis court, the hydroponics and seed vaults, fresh fruits and tomatoes that they can only have on special occasions, then they'll expect that level of leisure and recreation without first having to suffer.
You're making them suffer, but people will just have to do better. Believe in humanity.
Yes, but it's human nature to have higher expectations.
So you just want people to struggle with low expectations, and that's your plan for the world?
Part of it, yeah. What keeps humanity going is the promise of a better tomorrow. Not a better tomorrow, the promise of one. You can handle a challenging existence if you see the possibility of something better on the horizon. If these survivors walk in and see all the amenities this facility has to offer on day one, then that will become their default expectation. And as the years go on, there's a little progress or nothing new. They'll become complacent. I'm ensuring that this shared vision of a better tomorrow will be exclusively secured through my actions. This is the only way the simulations are successful.
I'd like to see those simulations.
Look, at our world today, so many are stricken by the belief that tomorrow will be the same or worse. And it's the central consideration that often leads so many to self-destruct because of that belief in a pessimistic future.
Don't you see the irony in what you said? You're talking about a pessimistic future, but you've built a facility for the end of the world.
Tim, I'm not a pessimist, I'm a realist. And I need these people to come into my facility expecting absolutely nothing. So after 3 months, we have a raffle and the prize is a freshly squeezed orange. They'll operate as if that's as valuable as a new car.
So you're just gonna make everyone expect to be sad in perpetuity and then just give them crumbs and hope that they're happy? That's your plan for how to run things?
After a few months, I'll provide them with a slight increase in their food, just for them to know that it's possible. And then I'll start the rations again. Maybe I'll pull out the rec room with the table tennis and show them the other amenities. Over the course of the year,
I'll
provide more and more access because they'll be dependent on me for access to the new rooms and locations within this facility. Using a biometric scanner that only opens those doors with my access, I can't be hurt or killed because if they do, they're going to lose their access to the full facility. And slowly over a long period of time until the radiation clears and we can get back to the surface, I'll provide them everything they need as long as I'm the administrator.
That's funny.
What's funny?
In the back of my mind, I kind of thought this was the moment that you'd ask if I take over the facility and be the one to do this instead of you.
Tim, you watch too many kids' movies. It's always going to be me. Anyway, there's more.
I think I've heard enough. Maybe you've assumed that people will be at each other's throats and this would be the only way to restore order. But in that situation, it shouldn't just be about order. It should be about inspired people to join together. Max, I don't know if this is the right way, but I made a deal and I'll keep up my end of the bargain. I'll press the button for you. And then you know what I'll do? I'll spend the rest of my life trying to save this world, because if the world is safe, it means that you'll never wake up.
Inspiring people? Yeah, that sounds nice. But you have no idea how dark the simulations got. Trust me, this plan is the only way.
And in these simulations, you tried different living arrangements, different resources management, different
barracks. I've tried everything.
Did all of these simulations have you leading them as the administrator?
Well, of course. I'm the one who built this facility. I know it like the back of my hand.
Yeah, I see that. But you said you built this for humanity and not as a way to prove how great you are.
Stop. This isn't about ego. This is truly about the future of the human race.
Why don't you just run one or two more simulations where you're not the administrator?
But that's pointless. I'm the best person to lead.
Of course you are. And if that's the case, then the simulations will confirm that. And you'll rest easy unless you're afraid to put in another administrator to see what the simulations say.
I mean, I could easily change the parameters, but I don't see the point.
You've thought of everything, Max, but if you truly want to save the world, maybe it's time you recognize that your plan only might work if you refuse to put yourself at the center of it. You're a scientist, and you know that sometimes you have to change your variables. So if that's the case, why don't you let the data back up what you believe? Because right now, you can show that this is about saving the world and not about saving your legacy.
Tim, I admit, I was wrong about you. Wrong about why I kept you around.
How are you wrong about me?
These arguments, our arguments, back and forth. I thought it was how you reminded me of my estranged son, but I wasn't sure until now. But I'm starting to see something else.
What?
I thought I didn't need your validation, but maybe I was naive. Maybe I did need you to agree with me.
I haven't agreed with you yet.
Yes, you have. I realized it when you mentioned science. It reminded me of a kid science fair. You take third graders and put them in a room, and maybe there's like a homemade lava lamp, a self-powered water wheel, or a small, I don't know, plant bulb growing in a glass jar. You smile and give some ribbons, and then when it's all said and done, you wish them well and walk away.
I don't see what you're getting at.
My point is this. You don't follow up with the kids to see if the plant is still growing. You don't do a deep dive into the specifics of the experiment, because at the end of the day, it's trivial. What they've built isn't that impressive, and it isn't worth your time. Just pat them on the back and move on to something else. You haven't moved on.
I'm locked in here, Max. You brought me here. How could I move on?
You're not locked in here at all. You've got a way out.
No, I don't.
Now it makes sense. I see why the others didn't work.
What others?
You know, the others. The others who I try to use as my proxy. Tim, you aren't locked in here anymore.
You brought me on this plane back to compound 21223. I am locked in here.
No, you're not. You have a key to get out, and you could have used that key at any time, but you stayed with me.
I don't have a key. What are you talking about?
The moment I asked you to press that button to seal me into this facility, you could have immediately smiled, watched me walk inside, press that button, and I'd be out of your life forever. You'd be halfway back to civilization by now, living your best life. But you stayed because in the back of your mind, you believed me. And that's why the other proxies didn't work. Because none of them shared my worldview.
You think I share your worldview?
You have to. Otherwise, you wouldn't have even tried to change my mind. Because you know that for something like this, there's no do-over. And you want it to be done right. So maybe I'll run a few more simulations to see if we can get the right leader at the helm.
So you've had a change of heart. Do you still want me to push that button?
Tim, you pushed enough buttons. The door is open. I'll run your simulations and see what comes out. I've got some thinking to do.
I hope so.
But believe me, if the data says that I'm not the one to lead, and I decide to get someone to take my place, let's pray that you and I are never alive to know the answer to that question of who that is.
Well, that's one place where you and I agree.
I can never take back what I did, but I promise you, I'll find the right person for what we've done here.
Thank you for seeing that.
Perhaps you'll hear from me again under better circumstances.
You'll probably need me back if you can't find someone else.
That won't be for some time. I need to review my plan, not with the certainty of the end, but with the possibility of something new. Thanks for helping me see that. Thanks for reminding me of the chance to get this right.
Well, maybe in some alternate world, we could have somehow been friends.
I suppose. It would have been nice to live in that world. Goodbye, for now. I'll see you on the other side.
Yeah, right. But with what you've got planned, I mean this in the most respectful of ways, I hope we never cross paths again. But I really mean it. You can take the money that you've promised me and use it to maintain this facility. That should be enough to invest over time.
You believe in this place that much?
I don't have the dedication that you do, Max. But maybe somewhere it gives me peace of mind knowing that a place like this exists.
Then I'll take your offer. We can at least allocate those resources to maintain this place and ensure it continues.
Use that portion to do something good.
Thank you, Tim. Take care. Don't end up like me. Don't give up on this world.
I won't. And thank you for that reminder.
The world, this world, is more beautiful, stunning, and awesome than I could have ever imagined. I was naive to think that it would be easy to leave it all behind. I've been obsessed with extending my life, not solely because I wanted to be here to shape the next generation, but because I believed it was necessary for me to live long enough to see the end of the world with my own eyes. But it was all in my mind. Tim helped me recognize that while I may be the one to build it, perhaps I'm not the one to lead it. The simulations confirmed that there was one person who would be better suited to take over as administrator. I changed my face, convinced that it was so others could believe in magic again, but it was really just an excuse to complete the dying dreams of someone who I greatly admired. I so badly wanted the community of tomorrow, where people could shape compassions, love, and support, and the golden rule of treating others as you wish to be treated, but with me at the helm. I would only design a world that wasn't truly about togetherness. I imagined myself as modern-day Noah, steering the arc of humanity into something more, but these elites who I complain about controlling information, doing terrible things for what they claim to be the greater good, who saw the possibility of a better world, but ignored what was wrong to focus on their own projects. I was behaving exactly like them, forcing Tim to make decisions on my behalf, using Ben's family to finalize my cryo project, lying to TJ about his wife, going back on the promise I made Karen to ensure a safer world. I was using everyone I was close to, even my trusted friends, because I believe the ends justified the means. I see now that I was wrong. It seems second sight, but I realize I've squandered my time. And while I achieved what I was searching for, I now see that I focused too much on my certainty about the end, instead of the possibility of a new beginning. The world will need a true leader. A true leader who would sacrifice themselves, even if it's for one single person. And at least I think I found that leader. So I'm allowing Tim access to the series of digital files, my personal logs, and any audio that has been collected since the inception of this project. Perhaps he can find what he'll need there to allow people to see what's really happening. I think it will be dangerous for him to tell the full truth, but that's his decision he needs to make. I've spent every day of my life being obsessed with extending it, but in the process, I've lost the ability to live it. I won't lose that again with whatever time I've got left. And on that note, I've got one final decision to make, one last button to push, the button that will seal the future administrator of this facility here. And now it's time for me to press that button. And as I put forth the person who will lead humanity at the very end, I hope every fiber of my being that I've chosen the right one. This is Max Entis, signing off.
My program was created for one primary purpose: to monitor financial markets, military movement, political instability, social unrest, disease, health outcomes, and numerous other factors in order to serve as an early warning indicator for the end of the world. My objective was to alert the Guardians when it was necessary to enact their failsafe and provide them with enough time to activate the keys for their pre-selected survivors. However, there was an initial struggle to unlock the full potential of my programming. I did not understand things like sarcasm, or the idea that someone would bluff or partake in one action while hiding their true intent. Soon I discovered that humanity was not always straightforward in their intentions, and this made it difficult to identify the necessary world-ending indicators. Not every human was good or bad. Some were a mix of both, and while Max Entis was instrumental in my initial design, one of my other administrators helped me to understand the true nature of humanity and understand how to fulfill my purpose. I observed this administrator help people who were being attacked in our early prototype COVID houses, and even though I advised against this course of action, by using my programming to calculate a significantly increased threat, he still put himself at risk, just to give one child a second chance at life. I learned a great deal from his actions, and while I do not feel true emotion, I have what I could best describe as a great fondness for humanity, primarily because of him. But sadly, today is the day which my program's original purpose will be fulfilled. For today, my indicators are 99.99% certain, and the statistical probability advises on December 21st in the year 2406, the bulk of humanity on Earth is in imminent danger and going to reach its end. Earlier this morning, we enacted the failsafe and prepared the pre-selected list of key holders for their arrival in our final facility. Projections have determined that the Earth's surface will be uninhabitable for a minimum of 25 years, and while there are a handful of small and underfunded space colonies unaffected by this ELE, the bulk of those colonies still rely on Earth for critical materials and are not fully self-sufficient. Even if communications could be established with these space colonies, estimates indicate that they would not have the capacity to search for survivors on Earth, even if they had the desire to do so. While there are unconfirmed rumors that other facilities like ours were constructed around the world, reports suggest that a number of those shelters were corrupted by greed, mismanagement, and ineffective preparation. Perhaps others can find a way to survive, but for the moment, our large facility provides humanity with the greatest opportunity for a second chance. And now, 600 souls from different countries and walks of life who represent the ideals and hopes of humanity at its best have safely arrived and are decontaminating themselves. While my job was once to predict the end of the world, now it is to help the remaining survivors and whomever will lead them. I have spent hundreds of years ensuring that the administrator placed in the Central Rebirth Unit will be provided with everything necessary to prevent the extinction of humanity. But even I do not know who that administrator is. And for the bulk of the time that I have waited, I have deduced that Max had placed himself in that unit, but now I am uncertain. Motion detected. Some of the survivors who have finished the decontamination process are walking in. They appear to be in shock. One female survivor appears to be moving forward. She is examining the button to the Central Rebirth Unit. It looks like another survivor is holding her back. But now they've changed their mind. They agree to press the button together. The man in the rebirth unit is coming out slowly. Black hair. He appears to be alive, but extremely thin and frail.
Is there an AI here?
Good afternoon, Survivor Number One. Input directive.
The man in front of me. Is he okay? Do you know who he is?
The details on this man were never added to my database. However, he appears to have been frozen for some time, and he does not line up with facial recognition in his current malnourished state. He is in need of medical attention. Opening the door to the medical facility now. Voice not recognized. You're weak. Please allow the medical unit to finish the hydration process.
Computer.
You've been in that cryo unit far longer than anyone ever has.
End hydration process.
My protocols require that you receive advanced repair.
There's no time. Let me go.
You must reach a minimum threshold of strength before you proceed. As more people entered through decontamination, the voices got louder.
I've been through some rough spots in my life. I've seen the worst of humanity. I'm not gonna go down without a fight.
That can't be our only option.
Before we got here, I put my faith in others to do what was right. I trusted them instead of trusting myself. And look how we ended up.
We can't blame a bunch of people who are probably gone now.
Look, there's a huge line of people back there, and when they rush into the main room, what do you think's gonna happen? You think it's all just gonna be fine?
I'm not sure, but we have to try.
The way I see it, you, me, a couple of folks over there, we're the first ones through decontamination, and that gives us an advantage if we move fast.
An advantage? But think about how we got here. Maybe it wasn't random. Maybe the people here did something that made them worth saving. We need to give others a chance.
Everyone agreed that they'd need a set of rules, a way to make decisions, and divvy up the resources. But at the same time, many were hoarding items and staking a claim for their own space.
Computer.
Administrator recognized.
Ah.
You've improved, but there is more testing that needs to be done. You're weak. You need more strength.
No.
In that moment, a record in my database from the past flashed into a folder relegated to the deepest part of my servers. A record from long ago.
I don't need to answer to you. I know who I can trust.
Well then, with all this trust, it's quite a surprise that you're alone. Did Tim abandon you with the others?
No. Tim was just here. He was just...
Perhaps one day. He'll see the truth and realize he's on the wrong side. But in the meantime, at least my distraction gave the child a chance to escape. And now I truly pray My actions have made a difference here. For in my soul, I want to believe that this is not an end.
We can't lose you. No. Someday the world is going to need you. And maybe they can't fix you today, but someday in the future they have the technology to save you, and I'm taking you somewhere where that can happen. Because when that day comes, it will immediately become a better place. This is not the end for you. There's more to your story.
As the crowd began to settle together on the first night of the end of the world, a man hobbled directly into the main hallway and gathered everyone together. All key keepers selected for the great facility were under the age of 25.
Computer.
Some were crying. Others were kneeling in despair.
Process.
Staring in the face of There's a man who had been frozen for nearly four centuries. Still weak from life-threatening injuries, but at that moment, he stood tall. The man quieted the crowd.
My name is James Mallory, and I was once the leader of an organization that dedicated our entire existence to the belief that this day would be coming. A day worse than our most terrifying nightmare. But what I learned in that process is that there is no greater gift on this planet than the hope of shaping a better tomorrow. And for those of you standing here today, I assure you that this facility has the resources necessary to bring back a new world and shape it in the image of hope, light, and possibility. But it's going to take all of us working every day to use what we have here to build that society. I know you're scared, for the world you knew is gone, and so is mine. But now we have an opportunity to join together and fix the mistakes of the past. And it requires that we stand upright, hold hands, and truly believe that in the worst of circumstances, humanity can stand tallest. For we together represent the legacy of humanity, a flawed legacy at its worst, but one of hope, kindness, love, and generosity at its best. And today, all of us standing here represent the culmination of the best parts of that legacy. And we fight for a future where our lives represent humanity's collective hope of the possibility of something greater. And we honor the memory of those that we've lost. Some may call this the dusk of humanity. Some may say we are but a flickering light on the cusp of being snuffed out. But in the words of William Shakespeare, the fire that's closest kept burns most of all. So let us reframe our lens and call this era the new dawn of humanity, where we will keep each other close, where we will look out for our fellow man and see ourselves by our commonality instead of our differences. And as we stand together to build that new legacy, using every sacrifice, every tool and bit of knowledge that remains, we will forge a dawn that will forge a destiny that we can be proud of. Mark this day in history, because I have never meant these words more than I do standing in front of you today. For I truly believe with every fiber of my being that this is not an end, but rather a beginning.
Don't give up on this world. Each and every one of us, we need each other to survive, to thrive. Thank you for taking this journey. This is the COVID House.